Welcome to the Mac Observer's Daily Observations Podcast. I'm Jeff Gamma. Today is Thursday, June 9th, 2016. With me today, I have John Martellaro. How are you, John?
I am fairly good. A little bit of allergies.
I feel your pain. Grasses and trees. The mold is really high today. It's a little bit painful.
Making me a little hoarse.
Yeah, there's a joke in there somewhere, but I don't think that I should go down that path. Instead, no. Dave Hamilton, how are you?
I am a big horse.
Yes, so I have heard. Also, I've seen the pictures on the internet. Anyhow, we have a sponsor this week, and that sponsor is Atlassian, and that's pretty awesome. We'll be talking about them soon. But before we do that, I think that this whole thing with the App Store announcements, that's something we should dive into. So for everyone that doesn't know what I'm referring to yet, yesterday, Phil Schiller he did a couple interviews. And during the interviews, he talked about changes that are coming to the App Store. And so we're going to have new discoverability features, and searching is potentially going to be improved. We're going to get ads that show up in our App Store search results. And then we are also getting... I hate when I forget a word. Subscription software.
Well, subscription pricing for everyone. Maybe.
Yeah. So it's across the board an option, but Apple's going to have some say in whether or not it's appropriate. That's kind of the impression that I'm getting. So not every app developer is going to automatically be switching to charging us a subscription fee to use their app,
right?
But it's going to be an option that's open. So that's like the big thing, I think, for a lot of people. So we should probably just jump in there to the whole subscription thing. And I'm curious what you guys think about that.
So the changes are that, as you said, any app can attempt to have subscription pricing. Apple is being less than 100% clear on who will be approved for that. So that in and of itself could cause some issues. But I feel like the direction they're heading, they will aim to clarify that better. Right. But it also means that any subscriber that you have for more than a year, you as an app developer now get 85% instead of 70%. So right now it's a 70-30 split with the App Store pretty much across the board for everything.
Mm-hmm.
For subscriptions, if someone's been with you for a year or more, and this is now, it's not retroactive, but it you don't have to launch a new app. So if you have a subscription-based app and someone's been with you for more than a year, I believe starting on Monday, that person and all of the people in that category will qualify for this new pricing. You don't have to do anything different with those customers. So this is there's an interesting dynamic at work here, because what it allows is, instead of it just being subscription for recurring content, like if we had a TMO app or with our Mac Geekab app, we could do subscriptions there in the past.
Mm-hmm.
But now, even people with, say, productivity apps or games or anything else, in theory, can do a subscription. And the idea behind that is, well, it might solve the problem of, what do you do about paid upgrades, right? You can have... Mm-hmm. You can have a subscriber that buys your app or gets your app for free, one or the other. And then, you know, the app works fine for, let's say, a year. And then after a year, you subscribe if you want to keep using the app. And as a developer, now you're encouraged to do those things that all subscription-based developers are encouraged to do, which is keep your customers happy, mm-hmm, with things like bug fixes and updates. And not just, again, you know, those updates, I think, are important in integrating new features, all of that stuff. And I think that's better than waiting until a developer has enough new features to decide to roll out a brand new version, right? You can keep just as a subscriber to an app, I can get updates, and that's a good thing. I like subscribing to Microsoft software. I like, you know, I mean, that kind of stuff, it works. So I think this is a good thing, and it is the solution to, I believe this is Apple's solution, not only to the upgrade pricing issue, if you will, but also to the trial issue, because now you can roll out an app that is free in the store, but, you know, say after 2 weeks requires a subscription to keep using it. Now you've got your trial right baked in there at the same time.
You know, this solves a lot of problems. I can't help but wondering, and this is an independent issue, but I can't help but think that this is an attempt to make developers happier amidst the context of the fact that while there's 1.5 million apps in the store, I've been reading a lot of articles lately about how people settle on just a couple dozen apps.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And they have their favorites. And if the developer thinks that, you know, once they push the app out the door and it's time to do another app to generate more revenue, this kind of helps solve that problem. Because if you've got a loyal base of people who love your app, you want to get a revenue stream going. So this helps, I think, address the issue indirectly.
Yep. And Dave, you read my mind, because my feeling about the subscription model that Apple's introducing is that this was their way of addressing the no upgrade pricing and no trial software.
Yeah.
And I know a lot of people just are really, really against subscription software under any circumstances. And that's okay, because everyone's entitled to their opinion, and in some cases, subscription software is not the right way to go. But in many cases, I think it is the right way to go. That's the way the market's going. And like you said, Dave, it creates the incentive that developers need to continue to give us the features and bug fixes that we want while giving them a revenue stream.
Yeah. I mean, it's not a perfect solution. And I don't know that there is a perfect way to sell software. I mean, if so, we haven't seen it yet. I think there are perfect ways to sell specific pieces of software. And it's up to developers to figure out what works best for them and their customers, or the type of customer they're going after. So, I think it's good that they have this option. It would also be good if we had truly free trials and things like that for apps where it does make sense to just pay once.
Mm-hmm.
There are sort of single purpose apps out there where just pay once makes sense. But, you know, I get why Apple might not choose that, right? They want everyone to be on the latest version of iOS at all times. Mm-hmm. And they've even made it impossible for you to go back to the version of iOS that came with your phone if it's not the current version, right?
Right.
So I get why this fits into Apple's ecosystem. And if you're a developer in Apple's ecosystem, you need to get on board with it. But customers are, and not everybody's going to like this. And there are going, like I said, there are going to be certain apps for which even those of us that do like it for some don't like it for others.
Do we have a notion of how the subscription will work when a year rolls around? Is the app going to do a pop-up and say, hey, it's subscription time to renew, and if you click OK, then you're billed on Apple ID and iTunes Store, and it just...
That's how subscriptions work now.
One more subscription now. Okay.
Yeah, you have to opt in. I mean, it's not an automatic thing. You have to choose to subscribe inside the app. Mm. And it, obviously the subscription is all handled by Apple, like you said, with your Apple ID, and Apple handles the payment.
You know why this doesn't bother me too much? We talked about subscriptions on a show about a month ago in another context, but iOS app subscriptions, I love, there are certain apps that I love, and I reviewed them, and they have a blessed place on my homepage, and I really like them. And I have no problem at all saying, yep, re-up, because I love that app. And if I don't love that app, it's not on my phone. So,
right.
I think
now, how are you going to feel about this when Mac apps do this?
I'll probably feel the same way because I either love them or hate them. And it's if I'm getting some utility out of it, or it's part of my workflow, or you know, it's a favorite place in my dock. You know, I don't think I'll have too much problem with it. As long as I have to do is click and say, you know, re-up, and I'm good.
The problem that I see with subscription software, as more and more titles go down that path, at some point, people's budgets get stretched too thin.
Yeah, you have to monitor it. I'm going to watch that closely because it can get out of control.
Right. And in some cases, it will ultimately be a lot more expensive for people than doing a static license and then upgrade fees later on, or even a static license and then rebuying the whole app later on.
But I think it'll help developers figure out whether customers love their app or whether they bought it and said, it's kind of okay. I'll let it sit on my machine. I might use it later, or whether it's something that you really like. They'll figure that out right away in this process.
Yeah, I think a lot of developers will get some really good info out of this just based on who is and isn't subscribing to their apps.
Yeah.
There is something to be said here, though. Developers have no, and this has been a problem all the way through. When you sell an app in the iOS App Store, or you know, which is the iTunes App Store or the Mac App Store, you do not have customers. You have one customer, and that customer is Apple, right? Apple has a bunch of customers for your app, and that has always been an issue, and this doesn't solve it. You know what I would hope to see at some point is when you subscribe, choose a way, and maybe developers could do this now inside the app. I'd have to think about this, but a way to say, and please share my information with the developer so that you have that relationship with your customers, or at least the option of having that relationship with your customers. Because that's a very, you know, it's one thing to say, well, yeah, you can subscribe to this app and the developer can serve you better by, providing updates and all of this other stuff, which is great. But if the developer doesn't know how to talk to you,
that's a really good point.
Other than within the confines of the app, it shackles that relationship.
Yeah, that's a really good point. And and you're right. That's been a pain point for developers ever since the App Store launched. Because what they're doing is putting their apps into what amounts to a black box, and then every now and then a check magically comes out. And they don't have a lot more. I mean, I know they do have a little bit more information, but they don't have a lot more information.
No,
and they don't know who their customers are. They don't know who their users are. They know who their customer is.
That's right.
Yeah.
That's right. Yeah.
I suspect the subscription re-up rate will be a real good indicator of the love being exhibited.
It's you know, with a blindfold on.
Yeah. Well, they'll know.
They'll know how many. That's it. I mean, they'll know where those people are, presumably. Yeah, in fact, they will. They'll know what country they're in, and they can get those kinds of reports. But they won't know who those users are. They won't be able to target and say, okay, well, let's say 50% of the people subscribe. Okay, well, great. I mean, that's better than 10, not as good as 90,
mm-hmm.
right?
Mm-hmm.
Who are those people? Why did those people subscribe and those people didn't? Can we, look at who...
No, I don't think so. I think developers talk to each other, and I think that they'll become a norm. You know, if you're getting a 10% re-up rate, the word will get out. People talk about it, and they'll chat. And one guy will say, well, my subscription rate is 66%. Wow, people must really love your app. How are you doing that?
Yeah, but part of it is knowing who your customer is and serving mm-hmm. that person. And if you don't know who your customer is, you have to guess at how to serve that person. That's the frustrating part to me.
Yep, I think you're right, Dave. That's an ongoing problem, and these App Store changes are not going to fix that.
No, these don't fix that. They fix other things, which is good.
Yeah. And we will know soon if these changes are enough to make users happy, because at least now there will be a way with certain apps to trial them before you buy them. So, you know, that's kind of meeting us a little bit of the way. But I don't know if it's going to be enough to make customers really happy. We'll have to wait and see. There's more I want to talk about, but we need to talk about our sponsor also. So we're going to do that real quick. Our sponsor, Atlassian. I'm so glad they're a sponsor this week. They are the company behind products like Jira, Confluence, HipChat, and Bitbucket. And if you are someone that's involved in any sort of project management and task management for groups, then Atlassian's a company you should know about. And you should probably check out Jira, because that's their app that actually lets you go in and assign and manage tasks and track task progress for any of the group projects that you're working on. And it's great because not everyone has to be in the same place. That's the kind of world we live in now. So you can use these collaborative tools to get your projects completed on time and hopefully on budget, and not have to worry about whether or not everyone's in the same place or if everyone's on the same page, because they will be. That's the idea behind the products they make. So, so that's really awesome. I'm really glad that that Atlassian is our sponsor this week. Go and check them out at their website and see if any of their tools, Jira, Confluence, HipChat, or Bitbucket, are going to work for your project. And I bet you'll find at least one of them that will. So their website is atlassian.com. That's ATLASSIAN.com, atlassian.com. Go check them out. And thank you, Atlassian, for being our sponsor. Okay, so one of the other points that that came up as kind of a big thing for me with the App Store changes is the thing with ads. And so when you do a search on the App Store, well, first, apps that you already purchase won't show up because you already own them, so they don't need to be in your list. But then there will also be one ad that gets fed to you as well. And Phil said that it will be very obvious that this is an ad, and the ads can only be for products that are currently available on the App Store. And he said that they're trying to make it as fair as possible for all developers. So you pay for your ad, and then there's a lottery that determines what ads get shown, and they're going to try and target the ads based on your searches, so that whatever app you see advertised is more likely to be relevant to what you're looking for. So what do you guys think about this whole ads thing?
I think this is ridiculous. I think it's a terrible idea. I think it's a money grab. I think it's a shallow approach to doing things. I mean, it's sort of like a woman who wants to get married, and so she puts an ad out, you know, and then she starts saying, well, okay, you know, here I am. Instead of getting to know somebody and you know, having a relationship and finding out about each other, that's the way we diagnose our apps, right? We read the reviews from the users if they look legitimate and are helpful. We might do a Google search and say, you know, such and such an app plus review in a Google search field or your favorite search engine, and look for somebody who's put the app through its paces and gives you the pros and cons, and then decide whether this app meets your needs and solves your problem. But to just simply be, and as there's things that we're trying to get away from, you know, there's a movement to Amazon Prime and movement to Netflix. We like to watch our TV shows and without ads, and we do binge viewing. Ads are a giant step backwards in terms of an intelligent, considered decision about an app. It may make you occasionally aware of something you weren't aware of, and you investigate it further. That's the one good thing that might come out of it. But to simply throw an ad in somebody's face while they're trying to do a search, it just seems to be kind of blatant and backwards and annoying. I'd rather make an intelligent search, do an analysis. Of course, that's John, you know, the analytical person. You know, evaluate, compare, and decide based on features and the vendor's experience. But this approach just doesn't sit well with me.
Wow, are we going to disagree on this one?
I'm going to get my popcorn.
John, you ignorant bleep.
Yeah, that's right. Well, yeah, I mean, actually, I feel like maybe there is, ignorance isn't the word I would use, but it's a sheltered view, right?
No, not right.
let me support my statement then. The world that we live in, I mean, you pointed out, right, that you want to search for, maybe do a Google search or something else, but app for review and then read that review. How do you think that gets to the top of Google's listings? Now, there's two ways. Number one is if it is just purchased, right, because you can buy targeted keyword ads at Google. You can also, instead of doing that, or in addition, whether you
ignore those paid ads.
Yeah, but in addition to that, or if you don't like paying for that, you can work very hard or pay someone to work very hard to properly build that page, whatever page that is, to get higher ranked in the search results. And I'm not talking about black hat search engine optimization. I'm talking about the white hat stuff, the things that you can do to really tailor it so that it shows up when people are searching for the things that matter to you. And there's a lot of good work that can be done in that regard. And that's how things show up in those searches, right? Mm-hmm. So, if you're searching in the app store, there really is no
I disagree with that. I don't necessarily use that mechanism that you just described. I don't go to the top review. I look at when I find those lists of reviews of an app and I see World of Trust is green next to a CNET review, I'll say, yeah, I'll go for that one, even if it's way down the list. If I see a World of Trust where it's red and some off-color site has reviewed the app, then I'm not going to go there, no matter how high it is on the list.
Yeah, so I have a different mechanism. CNET's still high on the list. I'm not talking about the first one. I'm talking about the first 10. Mm-hmm. You're not going to go three pages deep to look for something. At least most people aren't.
Right? I will until I diagnose the situation where I think this is going to be a review from a site I trust, and it looks like the review is going to be thorough.
I love you, John, but I think you're an anomaly.
And the thing is, that is nearly impossible to do on the App Store, right? Right now, there are Apple editors, we'll call them, that choose to feature certain apps, and that's great. But other than that, when you search, it's sort of this, Wild Westy kind of thing. And being able to target people that I know are worth spending my money on, right, to see my app, I pay for every, it's a pay-per-click model, mm-hmm. is what they said. So it's really worth my time to pay to get people to click that I think are then going to convert and buy or download my app if it's free. And that is something that you're talking about. You said that advertising is something we're trying to get away from.
Well, in some aspects.
Not this kind at all. This is exactly what really works for people. We promote a lot of TMO articles and other things on Facebook with Facebook ads, right? And it works really well. For example, earlier this week, I did my Gig Gab podcast that I do with Paul Kent. We had Jan Hammer on. Jan, I listened to that.
It was awesome.
Well, thanks. So that was the thing is I knew we had this. I mean, it just turned out to be this great, really relaxed interview. And Jan told some great stories. And I thought, man, I want more people to hear this. So how am I going to do that? And I went and I bought a Facebook ad. And I started with a very small experiment. In fact, the very small experiment is still going. I spent $20 on Facebook over 3 days. This is, like throwaway money, right? Mm-hmm. In terms of the advertising world. But what I did was I targeted it extremely narrowly. I said, I want people in English speaking countries. I chose an age range from 30. Actually, I started at 30. Now I'm at like 36 based on the results. I decided to tweak that up a little bit. 36 and over, because that's who's going to know who Jan is. and who had an interest in one of three categories: Jan Hammer, the Mahavishnu Orchestra, or Moog synthesizers. That was it. And Facebook suggested all these other things, all other fusion bands and other things. I'm like, nope, not interested. I just want to target these people. My goal with this is to get people to listen and to tell their friends to listen. Mm-hmm. And it's been working amazingly well. We've barely spent half of our $20 budget, so $10. And we've already had, like, I think we're up over 9,000 people have looked at the post. I think 35, maybe 40 people now have shared the post on Facebook. And our listener numbers are triple what they normally would be for this episode if we didn't expose it to anything beyond our own audiences. So this kind of advertising clearly works, and people are interested in it. In fact, I had one person comment on the post saying, finally, Facebook showed me something that I was interested in.
Wow.
Well, Dave, I think it's a question, now that I think about it, it's a differentiation between creating awareness and closing the deal.
Yes. And it's up to the developers that advertise in the App Store to advertise the right way so that they can close that deal.
Yeah, and once you create awareness, then the customer can make a purchase decision based on further metrics.
Correct.
So I will agree with you. It's not a bad idea to intelligently create awareness.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Wow. Okay. That was such an awesome wrap-up point. That's what I'm going to do, is wrap up, because we are out of time. So, Dave, thank you so much for being here.
My pleasure.
And John, thank you for being here as well.
You're welcome.
And Atlassian, thank you for being our sponsor this week. Head over to their website and check out their project management and collaboration and communication tools. Atlassian.com, Atlassian.com. Listeners, thank you for joining us. We'll see everyone again tomorrow.